Saturday live on Dublin's Easy Place to Relax.
Sunshine 106.8. Sunshine 106.8.
David, delighted to have you in with us. And I know that this is a subject which is of particular interest, well, from what I'm reading, to more and more people all the time, and particularly post-pandemic and post-lockdown. What I'm seeing or reading about now is that more and more people, because we're back out there again now, are deciding, yeah, I'm going to have something done in a way that they may not have thought about before. Is that your experience too right now?
Well, I've certainly seen an upsurge in the number of new clients. So not only new clients to me, but clients who've had nothing done before. And they range quite a bit in age. Now, there is a trend towards younger people getting things done more so than there was before. But also, I'm seeing a big upsurge in older people in terms of, you know, people in their 40s, 50s, 60s who've been thinking about it for quite a while, but have not actually had anything done previously. And there's definitely an upsurge in that since the restrictions ended.
And do people actually who come into you, I mean, do they discuss with you why? Is it because we've been shut away for so long and now we're a little bit perhaps anxious or maybe don't have as much confidence as we had before getting back out there, so we want to look our best in order to give ourselves a boost?
I think there's a number of factors. There's a lot of kind of postponed events, so weddings in particular, but people haven't been to festivals and that sort of thing, and they've been indoors, which has affected their skin quality. But certainly a recurrent theme is Zoom and people.
The Zoom face of people.
Well,
talk
people
about.
They look at Zoom, but what they look at their own face.
We all look awful on Zoom, don't we?
Yeah, well, everyone looks awful on Zoom, but I think particularly when people are working in that as a primary kind of modality, they're spending their whole day looking at their face, whereas ordinarily you're going to the bathroom twice a day and you're looking at your face. So I think that has maybe brought things to their mind if they have some perceived defect or something that they feel that can be improved. They're faced with that, you know, all day, every day. So I definitely think that is a recurrent theme, but also it is this, you know, pent up schedule of social events that have been postponed for two and a half years, whether it be family reunions, weddings, etc., or postponed big birthdays. And quite often people are not going to let that go. I'm going to my friend's 50th in August and he'll be 52, you know, so.
And I guess people have been through, let's face it, we've all been through such a tough time and some people through a particularly tough time. And very often that can show on our faces and, you know.
Well, it has been a very stressful time for people, you know, particularly people with kids at home and they're trying to hold down a job, be a teacher, you know, do all the other things that they still have to do. And I don't know how they do it. I don't know any children, you know, but it's like, you know, that's been extremely stressful. And that's also a recurrent theme of people coming in that they feel they have a couple of days in the office and that's like a holiday now that they to escape from their house. And so they are looking towards, you know, a little bit of freedom or even looking towards, you know, Christmas and you know, the summer and you know, certainty in events, which wasn't there up until
before,
2 months ago.
So what are people looking for then, generally?
I suppose, you know, people, when people talked about this, you know, in terms of people who have not had things done, they assume that people come in, they want something plastic, fantastic. But actually the vast majority of people want subtle change. They want to look a little bit fresher. They want to look a little bit younger without it being very obvious to others. And some of that is dictated by your social media. So my kind of mantra is, you know, if people can tell, it hasn't been done right. So therefore, I would attract a customer who wants something subtle. If you have kind of maximalist pictures and, you know, each their own, then you will perhaps attract a different crowd. But there's very few people who want something. If you say to someone, I think that's going to look abnormal, it's very, very rare that someone will ask you to do it. Yeah. I wouldn't do it. But, you know, generally people are quite reasonable and you say to them, okay, look, you're 60 years old. You haven't had anything done before. I can reduce the, you know, I can make these lines more shallow, but they're not going to go away. You know, people are happy enough. You know, so it's just a lot of it's about managing expectations. But generally it's, you know, the common thing. So as from the age of about 25, we start to lose the kind of fat in our face, which is kind of the, you know, the architecture really that holds everything up. So that's why things start to sag a little bit. So, you know, people come in and they want that volume. Well, they maybe don't know how to articulate that, but essentially what they want is that volume replenished or restored rather than an additive thing. So that's really the art, is that kind of harmonization that you are trying to restore people back to where they were maybe 10 years ago, not trying to make them anatomy what it's not.
Right. So basically, you know, a woman of 60, she doesn't really want to look 20, does she? I mean, that
no,
would be
and,
so bizarre.
And likely she's not going to. No. I mean, you do see some remarkable, you know, specimens of you know, but it's usually, you know, phenomenal genetics and that they've lived a very kind of clean life. But, you know, nearly, I mean, almost inevitably you can improve someone's visage. But a lot of it is, you know, when I teach other doctors, I teach out in Swords, in school in Swords, you know, what I say to them is the important thing to ask saying in the first instance is what is bothering them? Because quite often what is bothering them is not what you would, you look at the face and you'd be like, really? Because that's like 10th of my list. You know, and if you don't address that, they won't be happy.
Yeah.
So quite often when people come in and have a fixation or something, without being any kind of psychologist, they will bring that back to some childhood insult, or like the neighbor teases them about the shape of their nose, or, you know, that they had fat under the chin or whatever, and that just has manifest itself on them. Now, again, I'm not a psychiatrist and I'm not trying to get to the bottom of that, but quite often they will be very happy if you address that for them, because, you know, like I will say to them, I think you have there's a subtle hook in your nose, or that this is, you know, something that I don't, as an aesthetic doctor, I don't see as particularly abnormal, but it's abnormal to them. And that, you know, and then you have to kind of draw that line, or, you know, from, you know, what is a genuine grievance or problem to body dysmorphia. And
well, yeah, and it is a fine line, isn't it? Because the thing is, you know, if I came to you and said, look, you know, I have a problem with my nose, I don't actually, but if I did, and you said, OK, well, we can, you know, I don't know what you would do, maybe put a little bit of filler. So I don't know, whatever. I mean, the thing is that it's not really addressing what is causing that issue in my head in the first place. If you're looking at me thinking, well, actually, I don't see anything wrong with her nose. So you can put the filler in now and I'm happy for, what, 6 months, maybe a year. But then I'll come back to you. And I mean, my question is, once you start going down that path, and if it's because of a deep-rooted problem, then are you ever really going to sort that without actually going to address what the problem is in the first place? But I guess that's a whole different medical
field. Well, I mean, it is, you know, it's you know, again, when I teach other people, I say to them, you know, it's like relationships. People are never going to be happy, so don't treat them, you know.
Yeah.
It's so, you know, in that scenario, I'd quite often say, I feel it'd be a waste of your money. Like, I'm financially incentivized to treat you, and I think it looks fine. You know, so, you know, there may be some other issue here. But, you know, what I'm looking at does not look abnormal to me. And it's quite persuasive when you tell them I'm actually losing money from giving you this advice. But you're much better off being honest with people because, you know, ultimately, you know, they come and they'll spend their few hundred euro, whatever it is, and they'll go to their friends, and their friends say, I don't notice any difference. Or if you give them a treatment which you don't think is going to work very well on them, you know, it's the Irish, it's kind of that Irish thing, you go and have a meal, and you're like, oh, that was awful. And they come down and say, how's your meal? It's like, oh, it's great. And you never come back. So it's actually bad business to do that. So it's really a matter of being honest with people, and I said managing expectations. But when you get people with proper body dysmorphia who actually quite stressful to treat, because they generally are, you know, they're not looking for a great result, they're looking for a perfect result.
Yeah, which you know, is probably impossible.
So I would sometimes point that out to them. I would say, well, you know, I can do this for you, but I think your expectations are extremely high and I'm not sure that anyone is going to meet those. So I would do that under that pretense.
Right. Do you find with younger people, and I can't get my head around like these 20-year-olds who come in needing or asking for work done because, I mean, in my, you know, as far as I'm concerned, they don't need it. But do you find in this very social media obsessed culture that we live in now that a lot of the younger girls in particular, perhaps, and boys too, come in with an idea of, well, I want to look like her, you know, some image that's out there on social media.
It's more a kind of general, like, I definitely, the demographic is falling. Now, I do a lot of dissolving lips, which tends to be younger women. And
what is that?
So if you get lip fillers, you can get them dissolved with an enzyme, but there's really only myself and one other person doing it in the country, because there's a small risk of severe allergy. But that tends to attract a younger audience. And so maybe that's why I'm getting more young people coming to me, and my Instagram's become more popular, which again, maybe has that trend. But I've definitely seen a trend of quite young women in particular. I mean, it's primarily women that I treat, not exclusively. It's about maybe 2 to 5% men, but young women, and particularly actually young women who are naturally, you know, have nice anatomy, or, you know, pretty girls, contact me, you know, with very, very specific, you know, like tiny asymmetries, and sort of saying, you know, this is really bothering me. And I say to them, well, look, I'm an aesthetic doctor. I feel, you know, that you're very good looking the way you are. And in fact, you don't need any intervention. And it's normal to have a little bit of asymmetry, because we all sleep on one side. So you're going to have, and study has shown, yep, that actually slight asymmetry is more attractive than being totally symmetrical. So that's definitely a trend. And that I think is, you know, like I'm 45 years old, so I would have friends who have kids at this age, and you know, they're not going out and smoking and staying at 4 o'clock in the morning like we did. They're like weighing their carbs and getting up at 6 a.m. going to the gym. So I think they're more image conscious, yeah. And I think that you know, is boils back to on Facebook and on Instagram, you're getting a kind of numerical score of your popularity in a fashion which, you know, we didn't have. So you could imagine you were more popular or less popular than you were. Whereas now it's kind of how many likes are you getting per post, how many friends you have on Facebook, how many followers you have, sure, on Instagram. Yeah. And I think particularly it's been difficult for that demographic because, you know, they generally don't have a great deal of cash. There's been nothing on for 2 years. There'd be no events for them on for 2 years. And so, you know, there's not a lot for them to do other than to fall back into this, you know, realm of kind of swapping photos. And it's not necessarily a good thing, obviously.
No, I absolutely agree with you. Can you talk to me about the fact that it was reported recently that during the pandemic there was a number of people who went abroad to have cosmetic treatments? And I'm not even necessarily talking about very invasive ones, you know, things like fillers and you know, anti-wrinkle injections, and have come back from having done it abroad with some, you know, potentially quite serious repercussions.
Well, it's definitely seen a huge increase in people going, like, so what I do is kind of injectables. It's not plastic surgery, such, but there would be a big crossover.
So fillers and say,
so
Botox.
So I do filler and, yeah, Botox and threads and this sort of thing. But there would be a big crossover, obviously, in the clientele. And I have seen a huge surge in people going to Turkey in particular. Generally, they wouldn't be bothered to go abroad for injectables because it's the price differential isn't huge, whereas for kind of major plastics operations it'd be bigger, or dentistry. So I also work in hair transplantation on Dulcet Street, and so we would see people, a significant number of people come back from Turkey which look for our help afterwards. Now there is a selection bias, because I'm sure there's lots of people who are very, very happy and they don't come to us, so we see the worst of their work. But there is difficulty there, because, you know, once you're 1,000 kilometers away, there's not a lot you can do over the phone. It's difficult to advise people, and it's certainly a difficulty for us as well as to whether we should try to help them put that out there as a work when really we're not happy with the work.
Yeah. Well, I think, you know, I mean, I think especially when you're dealing with something that's affecting how you look, your face, you're probably better off to do it at home. But on the same token, just also be aware that the industry here is not regulated. So you've got to do your homework before you allow anybody to touch, well, any part of your face.
Well, that is a big problem here, in that, like, you can do a, you know, a filler course. You know, you can blind someone with filler. You can cause, like, bits of their face to, you know, die. I mean, in effect. I mean, you could do a course this afternoon and by this evening think you're great and set up a school tomorrow and start issuing certificates. There's nothing to stop you doing that in legislation. So, you know, there are certain things, you know, I'm a medical doctor, but it would be a relative rarity actually that you would find a medical doctor like me who does this full time. And there are a lot of dentists who do it. But for Botox and for this enzyme I use to remove filler, you have to be able to prescribe. So it's a bit like the 9 euro meal. So there are certain things, regulations that come in for lack of regulation. But fillers in particular are a difficulty. And I actually, in the last 48 hours, had someone contact me from Cork to have her lip fillers dissolved. And it turned out she had it done by a 15-year-old boy who had... who had made his own certificates with several typos in them, and modelled on a genuine certificate. And but this, you know, people kind of go on Instagram and they, you know, it's important to do a little bit of research. Like most people doing fillers in this country don't have medical qualifications. I mean, that's the truth. But you have some people who have done a lot of courses, are very good, and you know, if they're allied to a doctor who's willing to help them if they have complications, then I don't have, you know, particular issue with that. There are a lot of good people out there. But, it is a difficulty. The UK is similar. They're trying to bring in a regulation, something akin to what tattoo artists have.
Right,
so there's a register. Yeah. So you have certain hygiene standards and keep up to date and all sort of lark. But it's very difficult industry to regulate because it's very subjective. So, you know, I do my lips one way. I say, you know, this is the Dr. Lucy way. It's the best. And then someone down the road who, you know, does big Russian lips, and they will say, well, my lips are the best, and their clients will agree with them. Who's right? Well, it's very subjective, isn't it? So
I suppose that's a very valid argument, actually. But on the other hand, I mean, you have no protection as a consumer. You have no protection, do you? You've got to do your homework and make sure.
It's reasonable to ask people what the qualifications are. I think, you know, the important thing, one of the important things actually is to see that they're actually doing it full time or almost full time, that they're doing it like 3 or 4 days a week at least. But it's reasonable to ask people for their insurance or what their qualifications are, how long they're doing it. You know, people, I suppose, you know, I'm a medical doctor, so maybe I don't get asked as much, but it's reasonable. And people shouldn't be shy away from that. They should be able to show you their certs or the
yes,
like.
Yes, absolutely.
Know?
Can I talk to you about what's coming down the line then? Because I'm going to make an assumption that, you know, for most people coming in to have something done, the little tweaks. We are talking about, you know, the fillers to plump up the skin or, you know, maybe to make the jawline a little bit more defined, or, you know, the anti-wrinkle injections, get rid of the crow's feet and all the rest of it. Is there something or anything new coming down the line now that you're excited about it, that you think, you know, this might well help revolutionise the industry or offer something else?
I think, you know, we're quite far behind the wave. I mean, the UK will be ahead of us, and then the likes of Australia will be ahead of them. The world leaders will be South Korea. There's a move towards kind of this, as I said, this kind of harmonization, that you're looking at the face as a whole, and you're looking at like a plan, you know, over a medium term period, that you will have certain things done, as opposed to this kind of single tweak thing. So most people in Ireland will come in, they want their lips a bit bigger, or they want them reshaped, or they want Botox in their forehead or whatever. But that is kind of that's where it's moving, where you say, okay, we have a few things going on here. We're going to start, and we're going to put a little bit of filler in your cheeks to bring everything up. We're going to use some hydro boosters to improve the texture of skin, or, you know, we've lines here that we're going to take. It's going to take 3 rounds of Botox and a couple of other things to fix, and that you then kind of, you know, that it's not overwhelming in terms of, you know, the cost, because it's spread over time. But also, I think that there is a move back from this kind of plastic fantastic look that I think particularly see, you know, certain demographics, that I think there's a move away from that people are going back to a more natural look.
Yeah.
And, you know, so people, you know, really, you can only see bad work. And so, you know, when you see someone, we walk in through the green or whatever, you see kind of, you know, these durable cheeks or whatever, like for every person you see of that, there's 5 people you don't think they get something done, but actually they do. And that's, I think, one of the things that has changed, is that in the other 35, they discuss that among themselves. What are they getting? Who do they go to? Were they good or bad? Was this treatment good or bad? Whereas in the over 40s, particularly over 45s, they don't even discuss it with their own sister. Like, they won't give you a review. They'll tell you, oh, I think you're great. I might tell my sister, but I'm not telling anyone else.
Is there still that?
There is that, definitely.
There's a stigma.
There is a stigma. And that, you know, just because, you know, you're getting some Botox means that, you know, you're going to turn into Joan Rivers in 6 months. So it's...
I hope she's not here anymore.
So I think that has well, death is the ultimate Botox, isn't
yes,
it? But it's you know that I think that is changing things up. You know, in that there is now, as I said, particularly in people under 35, it's been normalised, and I think that is one of the reasons that's caused the rise in the industry. Is that it's if someone tells you they're going to get their legs wax and get Botox, people aren't gasping at the table. Yeah. You know, it's not a particularly unusual thing to say now. So, and the same in men, less so. But I'm getting more men coming in. So recently, I introduced like this kind of, you know, bring a friend thing. You know, Botox, and I've definitely seen that because you charge more for men because they use 50% more Botox.
Yeah, I can see that. Yeah.
But I've noticed since I've done that I'm getting far more men coming with their partners. Like even as opposed to men coming on their own before, that this I think in some way has made it okay for them to go. Well, obviously people do this as a couple, so now we can do it as a couple. And I've seen a rise in people coming in. So we've maybe had like five couples in the last 2 weeks. You know,
what's your favorite thing to do then?
It's a good question. Actually, I do quite like doing Botox because that's what I teach and that's what I do 6 days a week. But I like doing cheek filler because it's rare that people don't look better after cheek filler. And I like doing rhinoplasty, even though it's a non-surgical rhinoplasty, but it's basically where someone will bump on their nose and it's partially kind of an optical illusion, but it's a very, very satisfying procedure to do. And it is one of those ones that people have a real fixation on probably for their whole life. And when you fix it,
it's like, wow,
they are very,
so
very happy.
Yeah.
But, I mean, really, the procedure that makes me happy is when someone looks in the mirror and they're like, wow, you know. And usually that's with filler because it's instantaneous, that if someone has, let's say, lost a lot of weight. So they will be the real wow people. So I've had people come in and they've lost like 5 stone, 8 stone, you know, in some dramatic, you know, weight loss regimen. And the downside is that they lose all this fat in their face. Now, if you restore that, you will literally knock 10 years off of them in like 30 minutes. And, you know, I've had people like in tears when they look in the mirror because, you know, it really is
dramatic.
They feel
like they've gotten themselves back.
Yeah. It's quite dramatic.
Yeah.
So that's really, you know, even things like, you know, migraine. You do Botox for migraine and migraine can be really debilitating for people. And it doesn't always work. You know, it works a lot of the time. But, you know, if it does work on someone who has terrible migraines, I mean, they're so grateful. Yeah. They'd be like, you know, send you a bottle of wine at Christmas, like, do you know what I mean? It's like, so that's, you know, it is generally kind of a very pleasant specialty to work in. I mean, you know, I was formerly a surgeon and a radiation oncologist, so it isn't always like the happiest of kind of specialties, but I like it. And, you know, as I said, people have very emotive reactions when you tell them you're an aesthetic doctor, but it is generally happy work. People want to see you. 99% of people are happy. You know, they saved up their money, they have the money with them. It's generally a positive thing.
It is, because it's a great boost to the confidence if you look in the mirror and you think, yeah, I look all right, actually, as opposed to looking in the mirror going, gosh, I look tired, I look worn out, I look...
Yeah, I mean, it's a pretty kind of happy job in general, you know, because, you know, almost invariably they go out looking better, so... You know,
a happy job making people happy. There
exactly.
you go.
There you go, you know.
Dr. David Lucy from the Beauty Doc, beautydoc.ie.
That's it.
And follow you on Instagram. And of course, your advice would be if you're thinking of doing anything, just do some research and
do a bit of research. You know,
make
contact
sure you know
them.
Yeah.
Ask some questions. They should be able to answer these questions. Contact them on Instagram. You know, ring them. They should be able to answer your questions. You know, and that's a reasonable thing to do, and you'll get a good gauge from that, you know?
Absolutely. And if you don't feel happy, if you feel in your stomach, no, I'm not sure about this,
well,
then
like
don't do it.
It's like everything in life. Don't do it.
Don't do it. Absolutely. A pleasure to chat with you, and I look forward to having you back on with us again. Thank you.
Thank you
so much.